7340 now, and you can be protected in just 15 minutes or less with just a call. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, call 800-560-7340 now. That's 800-560-7340. 800-560-7340.
A new poll shows Americans are split on what to do next about health care reform. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
A new AP-GfK poll shows 37% of the likely voters asked want to repeal the overhaul of health care. A nearly identical share want to revise it. Only 15% said they want to keep the change as it is. The Tea Party movement has been the loudest in opposing health care reform. More than 7 in 10 likely voters who back the Tea Party said the law should be repealed in its entirety. Older voters were also likely to favor complete repeal. People under the age of 30 were the most likely to say the health care law should be expanded to do more. Ed Donahue, Washington.
There's a prediction today that the number of Americans with diabetes could triple by 2050. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says if the trends continue, up to one out of every three adults could have diabetes in the next 40 years. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Dr. Stan, they were just talking about, oh, this terrible increase in diabetes, and one in three Americans are going to have it in years. Ladies and gentlemen, they're poisoning the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. Basically, aspartame, which is in so many of the things that are we eat today, they put that in the products for the little children because they like it, because it's sweet. It's an artificial sweetener, and they put it in Smucker's products, and they put it certainly in the diet drinks, and it produces diabetes. It produces diabetes. You need to get Dr. Roberts' book, which we have, Aspartame, the Forgotten or the Ignored Epidemic. Aspartame, the Ignored Epidemic. It predisposes you to that. Certainly, we know that 1 in 450 children has type 1 diabetes. What is it? It's an autoimmune disease. Why are little children getting autoimmune disease? Because we're giving them vaccinations, and it produces autoimmune disease. And they know what they're doing. What do vaccines do? They mobilize the immune system. They overstimulate the immune system, but they do it artificially, and then the immune system doesn't turn off after the effect of the vaccination has occurred, and then these children get autoimmune disease. And this is one reason why adults are getting it, because they're taking so many vaccinations and developing autoimmune disease, which is what diabetes is all about. And adult diabetes, you have plenty of insulin, you just can't utilize it because the cells can't. So they're poisoning the American people, ladies and gentlemen. For as Dr. Richard Day, the medical director of Planned Parenthood said, and you can get our four tape set of the interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who heard the speech. People are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And I'm sure he probably would have included diabetes. But he was just talking how they had treatments of cancer, and they weren't going to release them because people were going to have to die of something, and there were just too many people. Well, is Joel Skousen with us?
I am, Dr. Stan. Good to be
with you. Okay, well, they didn't tell me you were here, so you pick up the story, and I'll just sit here and listen. Go right ahead.
Well, I was enjoying your commentary. I'm a real believer that these phony sugars really are bad for people. Isn't that ironic that overweight people have drink these diet drinks full of aspartame, and it's going to kill them? I mean, the weight problem, which is in many regards due to bad food as well as hypothyroidism, can't be cured by these diet drinks, and certainly they are damaging. So I really appreciated your commentary.
Let me just comment that in animals, if you give animals aspartame, they get pathological obesity. So here you have all these fat people drinking diet drinks, well, this is producing the pathological obesity. In fact, they give the aspartame to animals before they slaughter them so that they'll get fatter, and you can get more marbled, more fat in the meat. They know exactly what they're doing to the American people. This is a poison. The FDA fought it for 15 years, but Donald Rumsfeld got it in back in 1980, and now nobody at the FDA dares speak up and tell the American people they're poisoning our children. You go right ahead.
Well, switching topic, today's World Affairs Brief is going to focus on foreclosure gate, how it gets worse every day. The Obama administration and the big banks obviously want this foreclosure problem to go away, but something new emerges each day to prevent it. As we've reported in previous briefs, the legal problems are a result of packaged securities being bought and sold without properly addressing each and every transfer of ownership as required by law. These gaps are coming to light as banks try to foreclose on mortgages and courts are tracing the paper trail back. This week, the federal government tried to make the official conclusion that there are no structural problems with the foreclosure process. Well, obviously, other experts and the attorney generals from the 50 states disagree. While Bank of America appeared upbeat by reinstating foreclosure proceedings nationwide, private attorneys and state regulators don't believe that Bank of America could possibly have cured all the paperwork problems in a short time, and neither do I. It is believed that this bank decided to run the gauntlet of the courts and let their adversaries do the homework, hoping that a government, quote, solution is on the way that will whitewash the problem and offer some federal guarantees to make the system knit back together. And as for the claim that there are no structural problems, the World Affairs Brief was one of the first to point out that the Mortgage Electronic Registration System, called MERS, it's an actual company that the big banks created in Reston, Virginia. It was created and put into use without any basis in national or state law. Not only was it a creation without legal standing, its use was in direct violation of every state notary law in the country. Apparently, the Obama administration doesn't consider that a structural problem. How about banks using the same mortgage multiple times to create securitized loans? Well, try foreclosing on that structural problem. Some have, and now lawsuits are emerging in several states. That's only the latest revelation to rock the foreclosure markets, and it's a big one. Bank of America let the cat out of the bag this week when they filed suit against the FDIC, claiming that some mortgages had been sold. You know, FDIC essentially assigns another bank to take over a failing bank, and they absorb the supposed good debts, and FDIC absorbs the bad debts. But Bank of America is suing FDIC because apparently one of the units, the Taylor Beans Ocala funding unit that Bank of America absorbed, ended up having multiple loans securitized to various different people. In other words, you sell the same product to different people. What's ironic about this is what some people are accusing Bank of America of itself of doing, and to a much greater degree. Well, there's a couple of pundits out of Wall Street that write under pseudonyms. One of them is Tyler Durden, which I often quote. of ZeroHedge.com. It's a pseudonym. A guy called himself George Washington of Washington'sBlog.com. It's also a pseudonym. These are Wall Street insiders who are basically blowing the whistle on their people, and the fact that they have to use pseudonyms indicates that there's a fear factor of going up against the big boys. They don't want to do that, probably because they're still working within the system. Well, WashingtonBlogs.com this week gives a pretty good explanation of how the mortgage-backed security fraud was worked up. It's pretty complete, which we'll cover. He starts out by saying that Chris Whalen told CNBC, Larry Kudlow, that Bear Stearns sold the same loan to different investors on numerous occasions. He says, as I have repeatedly pointed out, the failure of the mortgage originators and banks to prepare and record proper documentation has led to an epidemic of fraud.
Hold this. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
In Washington, out-of-control politicians pile up mountains of debt. They pass trillions in new spending, unprecedented government intervention in our economy. They're chipping away at your rights, chipping away at our freedom, and now they're chipping away at the Second Amendment. They're surrendering precious sovereignty to global organizations, like the United Nations, surrendering our freedom. But you can stop them right now. On November 2nd, vote Ken Buck for Senate. Ken Buck has the courage to defend our Second Amendment rights. Ken Buck will defend our freedom. That's why Ken Buck has been endorsed by the National Rifle Association. Vote freedom first. Vote for Ken Buck. The National Rifle Association Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Find us on the web at NRAPVF.org. That's NRAPVF.org.
Starline Christian School, in operation since 1980 and state-licensed, is a well-rounded educational opportunity for your children. Family-centered with Bible time, structured, and social academic programs. Starline is located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado. Close to Centennial Park, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and two blocks from Jackson Elementary. Transportation is also available to the following schools: University, Montfort, Meeker, Krista McCullough, AM Kindergarten, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and Frontier in Chapelo. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for children 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool, 8:30 to 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Full care child care before and after school programs. Call for more information, 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541.
Well, Dr. Stan, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, he's talking about how some of these banks were actually selling. Joel, were they selling the same mortgage to several different people?
Well, it's a little more complex than that. Essentially, what happens is this all started with the electronic registration system. Once they realized that you didn't have to go through the actual paperwork, that you simply had robo-signers certifying that such and such a transfer had taken place and was legal, banks that were in trouble started packaging various mortgages into securitized bonds and selling those, and they ended up finding that they had put some of the same mortgages into different bonds. And so it wasn't a direct one-on-one exchange where you take a mortgage and sell it to one person, but you actually package it within an MBS or a bond and sell the bond. And nobody was going through and taking apart the bond and looking at every single what they call tranche or slice of the bond. And, I mean, these bonds were created with hundreds and hundreds of mortgages, sometimes thousands, in various tranches, which are slices or sections. And the reason they put them in different slices and sections is that each one of these slices of the bond have a different type of rating to them. In other words, they have some AAA mortgages, and they have some AA and some A and some BBB mortgages and other things. But these ratings were, in fact, totally fraudulent as well, because even when the bond is sold, they weren't guaranteed ratings. The ratings could slip, and so a lot of the AAA turned out to be, you know, A bonds instead of AAA, and sometimes even B bonds, and some of them even defaulted. So it's only now that they've started to get deep inside these bonds and pick them apart. Well, I mean, it actually came out that when two different banks tried to foreclose on the same property, they realized, well, how is this? Well, it's in my MBS that we bought, and the other bank would say, no, this mortgage is in mine, and the judge just throws the whole thing out and says, well, obviously, there's fraud involved here. Longtime foreclosure investigator Lavallee writes, on thousands of occasions I stated to regulators, CEO, banks, even Fannie and Freddie, that the practices of the banks were doubling and multi-pledging assets and pledging paid off and refinance notes to secure securitizations. Now they come and admit that each of these allegations were true. As I've repeatedly pointed out, he says, the big banks intentionally signed up as many borrowers as possible, even though there was no way that some of them could repay their loans. In other words, the companies intentionally make loans to people who are not able to repay them because during an expanding bubble phase, they make huge sums of money in salary and bonuses. And then, of course, when it goes bust, guess who picks up the tab? They know, being part of the insiders, that they would talk Congress into getting the American taxpayer to bail out the banks and the people who were investing in these things. Several investigators have said that these loans were not actually securitized at all, that in fact that they were put together in packages and simply insured at various different levels. In fact, a lot of people are saying that they were making many times over the value of the loan in the default process because they had sold, they had bought multiple insurance policies over the same packages, or at least, you know, let me put it this way, as they packaged different mortgages into different bonds, each of those bonds had an insurance policy on them, but when you have the same mortgages under different bonds, that means you have a different insurance package covering the same mortgage more than one time. I mean, this is fraud, Dr. Stan.
It certainly is, and the difficulty is that the whole thing is being put on the American taxpayers because these banks are just too big to fail. We couldn't let these banks that made countless billions of dollars, and so what do? They have derivative, you know, and they have to be paid off, and so the taxpayer pays that. They give the money to AIG, and the AIG gives it to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase. And I think it was J.P., I've forgotten, Goldman Sachs. It was either $12 or $26 billion they gave in bonuses to the people who created this problem. And we paid that, American taxpayers, and we're never getting the money back because those banks are too big to fail. In fact, they call Goldman Sachs Government Sachs because of its control over the American government today.
Well, as one thing I pointed out in the brief, it does appear that way. In reality, there's a larger conspiracy, and I know you know this. It's not just the Wall Street big banks controlling government. It looks that way because everybody who's a Secretary of Treasury or who is head of the Fed comes from Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan Chase, and it appears like they've got a lot. But in reality, it is that there's a larger conspiracy that controls these Wall Street firms that have seduced them into being their the venues through which they funnel their controlled people into the government.
I agree. I wouldn't challenge that at all. Go right ahead.
In fact, you're, of course, one of the pioneers in understanding the way that this conspiracy really works. But it's interesting that there really isn't any paperwork to undo. The only entries in most of these, in fact, all of these mortgage-backed securities, are in databases and spreadsheets kept by MERS in Reston, Virginia. The loans were not in actuality assigned to any one particular trust. And this is a very important point that this Washington Blogs is making. But the loans were not actually assigned to any particular trust or any one particular bond or any one particular individual or group of investors. They were allocated as receivables multiple times to multiple parties, usually to an extent in excess of the nominal receivable itself. And that means, to put it in plain language, is that you buy a bond that's got a certain amount of declared value, and it's supposed to have certain A, B, and C mortgages and loans in there. But in fact, these are just electronic allocations. We're allocating so much to this and so much to this, but there was really never any ownership transferred to the investors who bought those bonds. It's just that if they made a claim, they would go back and fill up the document with loans. In other words, it's like having a rotating pool of loans. You got a big pool of loans. You don't actually transfer the loan ownership to anybody who buys them. They simply buy the right to a certain number and value of loans. And so if they challenge, if it goes into default and challenge, then they start to reverse and say, where's the backup paperwork? And all they do is assign loans to fill up that piece of paperwork. And what they ended up doing is, as this cascaded problem came down, electronically they were assigning some of the same loans to different bonds. Am I being clear how this is happening? In other words, it wasn't that these things were allocated at the time of sale. They were just assured or claimed that you had these things allocated. But there were no names. There were no actual numbers of the document. It's just tranche A, B, and C, and here's your bond, and it's been rated such and such. And they bought these things. But it was all a fraud because, in fact, they were just going to reconstruct it if it was ever challenged. And now that it's been challenged, the reconstruction is faulty because they ended up allocating loans to more than one bond as they were challenged in court, and they got caught at it. Now, this particular Ponzi scheme is very, very big. It's huge. It threatens, I think, to bring down all of the banks, but it will never happen. We must not underestimate the powers that be financially to be able to make this thing go away and cover it up. That's why it's incredible that the government comes out and says, we have found no structural problems. This is a massive structural problem, Stan. Massive structural problem.
In fact, they tried to get legislation through Congress, and I think Congress actually passed it, and Obama didn't sign it, that said, oh, we're not going to worry about all these minor little details, because, of course, if we stop the foreclosure process, why, it will hurt the banking system and hurt the recovery, and for the sake of the American people, we're just going to have to let the banks foreclose on all these homes. They foreclosed on 100,000 homes last month. I mean, just incredible what's happening. People all across America are losing their homes and their property, and, of course, the bankers are just coming out making like bandits, and they are bandits because this is all crooked. Go right ahead.
Well, we can ask, are there going to be any consequences for all this? I say don't count on it. It's obvious that there's some very powerful bankers that should be doing jail time. Reuters explains, saying one of the amazing developments of the unraveling of the financial crisis has been the fact that there have been so very few people we can actually point to or say without a doubt this guy or that guy is a crook. Sure, we have Bernie Madoff and his fellow Ponziers, but they were only flushed out by the financial crisis. They didn't really cause it. The Bear Stearns hedgies beat their case. The mastermind of AIG, Joe Cassano, made a clean getaway. Lehman's Dick Fuld is still in the clear. Goldman and Countrywide's executive had to pay out large fines, but nobody did jail time. John Paulson and other hedge funds that helped construct CDO debt bombs and bet against them haven't ever been forced to even give some of their winnings back. Reuters says, I can't think of anyone of any real consequence who's facing hard time. Well, thanks to foreclosure gate, this may soon change, says Reuters, and I say don't bet on it. The administration's Federal Housing Administration and Financial Fraud Enforcement Task Force have undertaken their own regulatory enforcement investigation into the foreclosing process. And White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs confirmed, we remain committed to holding accountable any bank that has violated the law. And I say that's just bunk. That's just pure lie.
And, you know, the thing is, the state attorney generals want to investigate this, and the state attorney generals want to prosecute this, and the federal government doesn't want them to do it. They want to be able to just let these all these crooks off. And as long as the federal government says, no, we will do it, and they're not going to do it. But the state attorney generals would do it, and that's the last thing they want. A lot of these people ought to be in prison, and some of our biggest financiers belong there. I mean, they make Bernie Madoff look like a piker.
Well, he asks, who would likely go to jail? Well, obviously, the first candidates are the robo-signers who were putting their names on documents that attested that they had received reviewed the loans when they actually hadn't. And my comment is those would simply be scapegoats. But here's the problem, he says, with just putting these people in jail. A number of the robo-signers have already admitted that they didn't know what they were signing. Jeffrey Stefan, the robo-signer at GMAC, who got the current crisis started, has said that it wasn't actually his job to review the loans, just sign the paperwork. Can you imagine, Stan, somebody being paid six figures just to sign paperwork all day long without even reviewing it?
Sure.
So clearly someone must have told him that that was his job and that someone is responsible for having set up a system where there was no review going on. But the real blood in the streets, he says, would be if the feds were looking into some of the more salacious charges that are coming out of the securitization of mortgage bonds, one being that the bankers knew many of the loans they sold investors were deficient and they got a discount when they bought them, but then they passed those loans along to investors at full face value. Now, that's fraudulent.
And then John Paulson was involved in putting those together, and then he was actually gambling against them. He was gambling that they were going to fail, and they did, and he made, I don't know how many, countless billions of dollars on that.
That's right. Meanwhile, the title insurance industry is in a panic over having signed off on thousands of foreclosures already that have faulty titles. They're going to have to pay out millions to settle claims for not catching the errors on title insurance that they issued. Now, to staunch the red ink, they're now requiring, that is, the title companies are now requiring that banks themselves back up their applications for title insurance with full liability for paperwork errors. Fidelity National Incorporated, the largest title insurer in the country, has just signed a deal with Bank of America to that effect. That Bank of America guarantees that if there are any paperwork errors, that Bank of America will be liable. That Bank of America, says Tyler Durden, is willing to indemnify insurers is a sign that it does not believe it will lose much by the indemnifications or that it simply needs to get the issue behind them, and I say so that they can proceed with the foreclosures. But let me tell you that what the title company, this is a cop-out for the title companies, they simply don't want to do the research that it takes to find out if there's clear title.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Skousen at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
American patriots across this nation now recognize that our own rights and freedoms are being jeopardized. Yet what we are now reaping began at least 40-plus years ago when all future generations were denied even the right to live. With Amendment 62, Colorado 2010 Personhood Amendment, we shall protect and defend the rights of all people. If we are not willing to extend these rights that we hold dear to all people, and not only all people today, but all people tomorrow, then we shall have no rights at all. For then we shall have already relinquished our own rights. For if all men are not created equal with certain inalienable rights, then these are no longer rights at all, but privileges bestowed upon us by the courts. And if a human being is not a person, then neither are we. Personhood is defining a person as a human being, once and for all. Vote yes on Amendment 62.
This message has been paid for by Better Country Services, preparing for a better country.
Article 4.
the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and basically what people don't understand is the whole system is beginning to unravel. J.P. Morgan bundled all sorts of these mortgages, and they put them into bonds, and they sold them to insurance companies and pension funds and banks and financial institutions all throughout the world. And now all of these pension funds and insurance companies and banks throughout the world are telling J.P. Morgan, you actually sold us fraudulent things. You're going to have to take them back. You guaranteed them. They're fraudulent. And J.P. Morgan is talking, you know, I don't know, $20, $50 billion of, you know, all these CDOs, of these collateralized debt obligation bonds. Now they're going to have to start taking them back, and they're fraudulent. But don't you worry. J.P. Morgan's not going to have to put up the money because they're too big to fail. And they're talking now about TARP, too. We're going to have to come up with another TARP program to bail out the banks. And you know who's going to put up the money, ladies and gentlemen. You are. Well, Joel, before we go on, please go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and get the information they need to understand what's going on, because believe me, people who are not making preparation today are going to be wiped out as the financial tsunami sweeps across America, sweeps across the world.
Well, it's very true. It's becoming more and more critical to have good information about what's going on, because clearly the mainstream news media is deficient in warning people about the extent of these things. Most of the material I've put in the World Affairs Brief is public information, but it comes from very narrow sources that aren't covered by the mainstream media. And so people really need to have individual newsletters like yours and mine to be able to get to the bottom of what's going on, to find out when crashes are coming. I mean, I've had just letters today, emails from people worried about these reports that the government is going to confiscate people's 401ks and others, and I'm convinced that they will someday. They'll force them to turn them in for government securities, and so I'm recommending people that they cash in those things beforehand, even take the 10% tax penalty, because they'll have more in the end than they will if they keep them in the system. The people can get a free sample issue of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. There is a modest subscription price for this weekly news analysis service that I put out, and it's showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com.
Okay, very good.
Well, Jim Willey strongly believes that a TARP II bailout is in the works. He says, my expectation is for a grand TARP II initiative to bail out the big banks soon to come, already introduced as a topic of discussion in financial circles. The U.S. Fed will, of course, do its usual denial. Then a few months later, we'll mention how this is urgent. The second chapter program will cause much more problems and generate extreme anger, even with the U.S. Congress. But they will leave the Congress no choice. You know, that's the way they do it. They let this thing collapse. become a nightmare, and then the American people look to Congress to save our banks. And I think that's what's going to happen. They'll tell us, of course, that the whole thing is going to fail. They'll talk about how all of these banks are burdened with these bad mortgages, and we've got to make them whole. This is going to be exacerbated, of course, by commercial real estate. That's the second shoe of the mortgage problem that's falling. James Quinn, writing for Financial Sense, warns that commercial real estate prices have dropped 42% in just over a year. That means that there's $6 trillion of value in all the commercial real estate has dropped to $3.5 trillion. But the debt based on that $6 trillion still remains in place. That means that a lot of these debt mortgages in the commercial sector, shopping centers and office buildings, high-rise, et cetera, are underwater as well. Based upon the current rising delinquency rate of 15% for commercial real estate loans, there's no bottom in sight. The facts are that hundreds of billions in commercial loans are coming due, and with a peak not reached until 2013. So if banks were properly accounting for the true value of these loans, marked to market, for example, they would be forced to fail. This is unacceptable to government authorities, of course. They'll insist that the banks are still solvent. But in fact, if you look at these bank ratings, you know, even with the fudging of the numbers, it's showing up. I remember a local bank that used to brag about being the strongest bank in the state. And it indeed was, had A-plus ratings, and it was all dealing in local commercial loans to businesses that were doing quite well. And now after the downturn, nothing's changed with the bank. The loan portfolio is the same, and then they're now rated D-minus. They went from A-plus to D-minus in less than 2 years because of the realization that these loans, while strong during a bubble economy, collapse, and that there just isn't any value in these commercial properties, because once a business goes out, there's no new business to take its place, and these the vacancy rate is very, very high in strip malls and other places. And I think that a lot of businesses are just hanging on because these rents that they're paying are quite high from the boom years, and they're sapping the strength out of these businesses. So it doesn't look good for the long term, Dr. Stan. Only another injection of inflation can stave off the inevitable downturn, and that only staves it off. It doesn't fix anything. You know, the injection of paper money, of course, just gives people more money of the appearance to spend. But everybody doesn't get money at the same rate. You know, this money is injected not directly to the people through, as it was in the stimulus of 2008, but it's injected through the military-industrial complex, through the big contractors that have all of these building projects, road infrastructure projects that are being given money from the federal government. Those people are spending their salaries. They have the first use of the money. They're the ones who get the real use of it. By the time it trickles down to the rest of us, the prices have risen, and our money has been devalued. So that's the sad thing about the way that inflation trickles down and why it hurts the middle class and the people that are not directly in the food chain of the federal government spending.
And the greatest tax of all is the tax of inflation. It simply destroys the value of your life savings.
And, of course, the government doesn't intend to go back to taxing people directly, because then they would throw the rascals out. They'd stop the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq as too costly if people had to pay for it. And that's why they have no intention of ever stopping deficit spending. But they can't keep going on forever, too. We're technically bankrupt now, and in about 10 years, we'll reach the point where our tax income cannot pay the interest on the debt, and you're really bankrupt in terms of the rest of the world. And I've said many times before, they're going to bring us a war, a world war, a nuclear war, where the United States itself will be attacked. This will be their major out. They'll have an excuse to start all over, and it won't be their fault when they come out of their bunkers. And you have to ask, well, how did they know to be in their bunkers? That's because they know this war is coming. Well, there's so many insiders in the Wall Street, Wall Street insiders within Obama's cabinet, talking in today's World Affairs Brief, the case of Larry Summers, director of National Economic Council. He makes about $135,000 a year. But just for one speech this year to Goldman Sachs executives, they gave him $135,000. Now, why would they do that? Because it's a payoff. These people are working.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Attention experienced sales professionals. KHNC Radio is looking for strong, independent sales representatives to sell airtime. If you appreciate what KHNC stands for, you're creative, self-motivated, and can work independently and have a proven successful background in commissioned sales, please email your resume to Danette at AmericaNewsNet today. That's D-A-N-E-T-T-E at AmericaNewsNet.com. If you're a health-conscious woman interested in fitness, join the Beth Messiah congregation as they welcome Deborah McCoy, an excellent, experienced personal trainer. Deborah will share her wisdom and fitness techniques. Plan on attending Sunday, November the 7th at 10:30 to 1:30 for a brunch at KHNC Lobby. Please bring a dish to share. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information and ask for Sharon. That's 1-800-205-6245. See you Sunday, November the 7th. Divine Canine says the temptation to buy a loved one or a child the ultimate gift of a new pet may be more than you bargained for. Of the animals that are euthanized each year, many are holiday or uninformed purchases. Make wise decisions and always have your pets spayed or neutered. That's from Divine Canine at 1141 South Street. Not just another drop-off service, but your complete solution to caring pet sitting. They provide sanitized kennels, appropriate nutrition, indoor and outdoor yards, and quality dog training and pet grooming. For convenient drop-off times and affordable rates, call 303-464-1380.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, and I guess this morning, of course, Joel Skousen, the last segment. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, Dr. Stan, let's see. We were talking about Wall Street insiders within Obama's cabinet. We expected this in the Bush administration. Nothing has changed during the Obama administration. He made a lot of talk about I won't have any lobbyists working in his administration. Well, if these aren't lobbyists for the Wall Street, I don't know what are. They're all former executives from Wall Street. They still give major benefits. Michael Frohn, Deputy National Security Advisor, worked for Citigroup, earned more than $7.4 million from the bank between January 2008 and the time he entered the Obama administration. Citigroup has thus far been the beneficiary of $45 billion in cash and over $300 billion in government guarantees of its bad debts since he was in the administration. David Axelrod, for example, was paid $1.55 million last year from two consulting firms he controls who work for the government. He's agreed to buyouts that would garner him another $3 million. I mean, they take care of their own. Look at Obama's National Security Advisor, Thomas E. Donilon, replacing General James Jones. He was paid $3.9 million by a Washington law firm whose major clients include Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, and Apollo Management. I mean, it just goes on and on. You talk about insiders, man, the way they compensate these people is just incredible.
Now, are these people getting the money before they go to work for government? I hope they're not getting any money.
Only in the case of Lawrence Summers, where he gets speaking engagement fees, you know, he's getting paid, and he really shouldn't be allowed to do that. If he's a full-time government employee, he should not be allowed to gain private speaking fees, you know, while he's under the employee, because he obviously has to prepare those speeches on his on government employment time.
And, of course, the amazing thing, remember when Dick Cheney was vice president, and he was getting deferred compensation from Halliburton for the first 3 or 4 years he was the vice president. He was getting some fabulous salary from Halliburton. They called it deferred compensation. I call it bribes for Halliburton, you know, which was, of course, he'd been worked for, and then he goes, you know, and nobody speaks out and says, these are payoffs for government employees for services rendered.
Well, you know, it can never be, that case directly can probably never be made. What can be made is it's a much larger conspiracy in the sense that they have people essentially doing their bidding. And these are the guaranteed payoffs. They're not direct payoffs for any quid pro quo, but they're generally saying, you're our man in government, and we'll make sure that you're made rich. And it's just that general. It's just like Barack Obama. Once he decided that he would play, you know, switch over from the radical left to the globalists, that they would make him wealthy. And they made him wealthy. Hillary Clinton, they made wealthy. Bill Clinton, they made wealthy. Every one of these people is being made wealthy, and it's a huge enticement for the best and the brightest getting out of these prestigious Ivy League universities, going to work for Wall Street law firms or Wall Street brokerage firms. And it's whispered, you know, hey, if you really learn to play your ropes, you know, you can get in the slot where you get these million-dollar contracts for doing nothing. And you look at Dick Cheney, as you mentioned. What qualified him to go to work as a high vice president for Halliburton Corporation? Nothing. He had no qualifications. He was a congressman from Hodunk, Wyoming. But he was a player among the powers that be, and that's why he put there. It was compensation. He probably did nothing for Halliburton. He probably never made any decisions. That was all made in and around. But he was there to collect his income because he was an insider, and he would use that power eventually, you know, to Halliburton's business. They got billions of dollars in contracts during the Bush-Cheney administration. But even if they got nothing, the point is there are certain corporations out there that are so tied with the powers that be that they are considered receptacles of employment for people in the revolving door system of government. They revolve out of government into employment. I mean, I remember the story once that I told about this whistleblower in Texas who was working for undercover for the FBI, and his handler, an FBI agent, messed up. The handler had to be removed from the FBI. He went to work for six figures at an insurance company in Seattle. Now, this guy had no insurance business. I don't think he did a day's lick work for these people. They simply were tied into the powers that be. They get a telephone call and say, we want you to take this guy on at six figures till we, you know, whitewash his record, and then we'll bring him back into government. That's how this system works, and it's really evil. But unfortunately, you know, there's no way to actually prove these things. It's just, you know, you have to look at the fact that these things don't make sense. Why would an insurance company hire an FBI agent who had no insurance business? It doesn't make any sense, but, you know, you can't prove collusion. If they want to waste their money, they can. But there is...
Well, we can send people to prison on circumstantial evidence. We can send, you know, put them for execution on circumstantial evidence. I don't know why we can't do this with some of the people after Bill Clinton left the White House. Bill and Hillary left the White House, they were so poor, they were stealing silverware and dishes from the White House. And yet, subsequently, Bill Clinton's foundation received almost $500 million. I think it was about $490 million last time I checked. His foundation, after he left the White House, all these people all over the country donating to Bill Clinton's foundation. I wonder how many people did that because he was such an honorable, you know, a man of integrity. And it was simply payoffs for services rendered.
That's
he got
we
more
know
for
that,
his
yeah.
book than the Pope did. The Pope with a 1.25 billion followers got $8 million for his book, and Bill Clinton got $10 million advance for his book.
Right. Well, it certainly wasn't because, you know, Clinton wasn't stealing the White House silverware and dishes because he was poor. He had secret bank accounts in Switzerland that Vince Foster helped set up with Mark Rich. And so, you know, this is just a sense of entitlement, a sense of immunity from prosecution that people within the powers that be have. And Bill Clinton knew he was going to be protected. He could do anything he wanted. And so that's really what happened in terms of the rape of the White House, is essentially these are people realizing, hey, I can do anything I want in life because nobody's going to take me down as long as I serve the powers that be. It's an incredibly large and powerful organization that runs both political parties and our government. It is, as you have so correctly pointed out, the Brotherhood of Darkness, and Americans need to wake up that nothing's been changed through the Tea Party.
Well, God bless. We'll talk to you next week, Joel. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way, the only way they know how.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, hope you enjoy our conversation with Joel every Friday morning. Well, he does most of the talking, which is great for me. I can just sit back, and he does such a good job. And ladies and gentlemen, the whole world financial system is on the verge of collapse. Why? Because, of course, all these home mortgages are written, and then suddenly the houses begin to lose value, and all that money is simply, well, it's money created out of nothing, but suddenly it's dissipated. Same thing with the commercial interests, the commercial properties. They've lost half their value. What happened to the money? It just went up in smoke, and the whole world financial system is beginning to collapse, and you better be prepared for it. Difficult times are coming, as I've told you on previously, why intelligence agents, retired intelligence agents, have been told by their organization to get out of the country because there's going to be chaos. Certainly we heard a story from Lindsay Williams, and he'll be with us in about a week and a half. But of course, Lindsay was told by a woman he knows very well, who he relies upon for information, he thinks is very reliable, that she was told by Janet DiPaolo, who heads Homeland Security in Washington, D.C., she was told within the last 10 days to stock up on food and water and supplies for 6 months because something big is coming down, and Janet DiPaolo would not tell her what it was, but it was something large, and she wanted at least a few of her friends to be prepared. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want all of our friends to be prepared. We want you, if you don't already have your major preparations, certainly make your preparations now, because I believe very difficult times are coming, and this is not in the distant future. It's sometime within the next 6 months to a year, and perhaps even sooner. And we'll hear Lindsay's story He was told there's going to be a major crisis in the Middle East within 4 months. Now, for the last 2 years, I've been thinking we're going to have that crisis over there, some sort of a confrontation with Iran. And Lindsey has constantly said the powers that be who contacted him have said, no, 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 it's not time yet. Well, apparently the time has come. It's coming, and it's coming very soon. Batten down the hatches, that's all you can do. And keep helping us try to save this country. Can it be saved? I don't know. If it's going to be saved, God's going to save it. But certainly, will he save this, or will he bring his judgment on this nation? I fear the judgment is coming in one form or another. Under any circumstances, you need to understand what's happening. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get the DVD on the Trilateral Commission, which really coordinates everything. Certainly, between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, and basically six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, eight of the 10 World Trade Representatives, seven of the 9 of the 12 secretaries of state.